Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, as we are going through this Believe series, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts to receive your word. And Lord, that we fully believe that you are the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today we believe that you are involved in and care about our daily lives. Lord, we just ask that you would rid our minds now of a few distractions that we might have so that we can focus on your word. And Lord, that you refresh us here today, that you equip us here today to serve you in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we started this series last week, you know, we went over that core belief that I believe the God of the Bible is the one, the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as I thought about that this past week, I couldn't help but think, you know, about different gods that different people believe in, the different religions, and then also just the core beliefs of some people. Even when we're talking about creation, how some believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. There are those who believe in evolution. And I got to thinking, you know, regardless of what God someone believes in, and regardless of what thought process or what drives someone's thinking about the whole of creation and their whole life, what does it really all boil down to? Faith. Because even when it comes to the evolutionary theory, that's only a theory. That's something that somebody came up with. So you have to believe that. You have to trust in without being able to see and explain it fully, that even that is right. So I think as we go through this series as well, there are certain core beliefs that we will believe in, but there are certain things in the Bible that are just hard to understand, and I don't know that God intends for us to fully understand them, but we believe by faith. This morning we're going to take a look at, you know, I believe that God is involved in and cares about my daily life. I want you to think about this scenario for just a minute. You've been working on a job for about maybe 4 or 5 months, and you feel like everything is going really well. You've got a good rapport with your boss and with your co-workers. And one day, just kind of out of the blue, your boss calls you into his office, and on your way to the office, you're thinking, all right, man, I'm going to get a little bit of a raise here. Might even get a little job promotion. And you go and you sit down in front of your boss and you kind of chit-chat just a little bit, and then he says, I'm sorry, but I have to let you go. It's nothing personal. It's just we've got to downsize a little bit. Have you ever been in that situation? I was. About 4 or 5 months after I graduated from college, my first job. Got called into the office. We've got to let you go. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of took it personal, even though he said not to. Because I'm sitting there thinking, well, what did I do wrong? You know, what happened? Am I not doing my job? Did come to find out that's just what happened. I talked to some of the other co-workers, and they said we knew it was coming. Happens every year. The company hired on extra help for tax season and audit season, and after it's over, you let go of the newest people hired. But it's tough. Maybe it wasn't a job loss, but maybe it's a financial struggle. Maybe it's a health issue that you've dealt with. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's even what we're dealing with a lot in today's world right now. It seems like flooding and disasters, fires, tornadoes, just ripping apart people's lives. And you think, it's just not fair. If God is involved in and cares about my life, why? How can all of this happen? You know, I'm going to think that maybe Naomi in the Old Testament thought the same thing. You know, Naomi and her husband Elimelech, they were living in the land of Israel during the time of the judges. things were kind of rocky. I mean, the people would fall away from God. Then God would provide this judge, raise this judge up who would bring his people back to him, and they would worship him. And then before you know it, they were back off worshiping other gods and just no regard for Yahweh himself. But during this time, there was a famine. And Naomi and her husband and their two sons went to Moab to live. Now their two sons married Moabite women. And the Moabite women were Orpah, not Oprah, but Orpah and Ruth. Okay, so the two sons marry these two Moabite women. Elimelech dies. And then 10 years later, we're told that the two sons die. And so here you have Naomi in a foreign land living away from her people, and everyone in her family basically is dead. Now, granted, there's still Orpah, there's Ruth, but they're Moabite people. And so over time, you would think that, man, she could have probably thought, and maybe did, wow, this is not fair. This is not right. If I have a God who says he's with me and watching out for me, how can he let my husband and my two sons be taken from me? Over time, Naomi decided to go back to Israel. The two daughters-in-law, they want to go with her. She tries to talk them out of it. Orpah does stay, but Ruth says, wherever you go, I will go. So Ruth and Naomi go back to the land of Israel, and to make a short, long story short, Ruth is out gleaning in the fields, and she catches the attention of an Israelite guy named Boaz. Now Boaz, little do we know at the first of the story, and little do they know, that Boaz is actually the kinsman redeemer. It would be the next in line that's alive who would redeem Ruth and have children so that that line of the family could go on. And so they marry. Boaz and Ruth marry. Boaz and Ruth have a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. And Jesse has a son named who? David. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But if we think about David, I mean, David met his challenges, had the struggles of leading a nation, had his own temptation, struggles with women, you know, and then murder. I mean, he had those temptations. He had those challenges. And there wasn't probably hardly a day of his life that he wasn't worried of, and fear of what was going on. And a lot of that's recorded for us in the book of Psalms. I mean, he's frustrated. He's weary. He's tired. He's wanting God to take care of the enemy. And one of those psalms that he wrote is the most popular psalm, probably a psalm that most people, if you started saying it, can repeat a majority of that psalm. Now, if you do it on your own, you might get a little bit lost and tied up with the phrases, right? Kind of like the Lord's Prayer. There's sometimes when if you try to say that or the Apostles' Creed by yourself, you kind of go in circles and you think, man, where did I mess up? I'll tell you this right quick. I do this every now and then in our shut-ins. We say the Lord's Prayer together. And every now and then we get finished with the Lord's Prayer and we'll look at each other and say, did we skip a section? Or because you kind of get lost when it's just you or one or two people. But as a group, you kind of keep it going. But anyway, David writes this psalm, Psalm 23. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here's the whole idea of God providing for us. All of our needs, no need to worry, like our gospel reading says, which is very tough, right? And we talked about that a little bit this morning in our Bible class. Is there a difference in worrying and maybe being concerned about what's going on? And possibly so. We're not in despair when we're concerned. Sometimes when we worry, we're at our wits' end and in despair, wondering how to fix things. But anyway, God does provide for us, and that's what he's recognizing here at the first part of this. And then he goes on in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sometimes this is translated, even though I walk through the darkest valley. The darkest of times. When it doesn't seem like there's any hope. When you're almost close to your wit's end, what to do. Whether it's in those challenging times, whether it's in that loss of a loved one, whether it's those financial struggles, that job loss, these natural disasters that come when everything seems to be caving in on you, when you walk through those darkest of times, guess what? God is with us. And it may not seem like it at the time, but hopefully, at some point, you will be able to see what Romans 8 verse 28 talks about. In all things, God works for the good for those who love Him. I think the deep question is always, how can God allow these things to happen if He truly cares about us and He truly loves us? And the thing is, we live in a fallen, sinful world. And Scripture is clear that these things are going to happen. Some of which we may bring on ourselves. Some of which we absolutely have no control of whatsoever. But God is with us. And hopefully at some point we can see down the road how God worked good. How God worked through those circumstances for the good. I want us to go back for just a moment to Ruth and Boaz. They had a son, Obed. Obed had a son, Jesse. Jesse had a son, David. Guess who comes from the line of David? Jesus. We can see. Now, in my mind, he would have worked it a different way if this wouldn't have worked out. But the question is, we can see how God was at work through this circumstance to bring to completion the fulfillment of sending His Son into the world. As I look back even at my job loss, I guess the question in my mind would be, would I be standing here today if I would have kept that job? Or did God have bigger and better plans? And each of you maybe can look at some circumstance that you've had in your life and in the challenge and the struggle that it was when you hit it face on. But can you look back and see, wow, you know what? God did have a way to work through this. And I want to say in my mind, God does not cause all of these horrible things that happen. Because God's intention is for everyone to love Him, and I don't believe God's intention and will and plan for our life is for evil to come upon it. But it happens. But God can take that and work good through it. I think we see that in multiple times in the Bible, even with David's life, with Ruth's life, Boaz's life, with our life. We can look and see how God took a circumstance and turned that into something good. And that's really the bottom line, that we have a loving God who is involved in and cares about our life, about our daily life. That's the key belief that we're looking at today. I'd like for you to say that with me. And I may have put that on the screen. I'm not, if that's the next slide. Let's say that together. I believe God is involved in and cares about my daily life. He does. He cares about you. And He cares about us so much that He sent His Son, as I talked with the children. What is God's greatest act of love toward us? And that was sending His Son into the world that brings us forgiveness and life. He loves us. He cares about us, and He's involved with us in our everyday life. Sometimes we may not want it. Sometimes we may push it away. but he cares about us. And I think the key verse for today as well is something that I use this quite frequently. I was kind of surprised when I saw that it was used for this series and for this particular instance. I use this quite frequently when I go to hospitals. And there is this circumstance that is just doesn't look good. And I use this verse, Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's say that together. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. We truly have someone to turn to. I know as we live our lives in the world, challenges and struggles, we're going to hit them face on, if not every day, close to every day. And a lot of times, even the people that you think you can turn to aren't there. But do you know who's there? God is. He's always there. Even when your friends may not be there. Even when your spouse may not be there. Even when your children may not be there. Even when co-workers may not be there. God is always there. We can always turn to Him and should turn to Him. We talked about that this morning in Bible class. How often do we go through life and maybe through a day and may not even think about how God is involved in my daily life. But my prayer is that we can intentionally, and myself included, intentionally think about how God is involved in and does care about me. This is not a me thing that the world is talking about, but we need to understand and realize that God does care about us, and He's involved in our lives, and He doesn't want harm for us, and that when we go through those challenges, that at some point we'll be able to see good that God worked through it. And I might even add, I thought about this, it may not even be in our lifetime, but it may be for the benefit of another generation to see how God worked through our lives, through a circumstance, to bring good and glory to His name. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.